Over 40 in Vancouver, episode 102. I'm Roland.
I'm Dale.
How you doing? What do you want to talk about?
I want to go on the record as saying, like, we failed a little bit because scheduling, because we wanted to do more podcasts. I wanted to do more podcasts.
I don't think we failed because it's been less than a month since our last one, I think.
Okay, well, maybe. So, yeah, riding in Vancouver in the rain. I did more of it.
Why? How?
Well, just because I needed to commute someplace and it was raining. And I'm not as afraid of the rain now that I've got my rain gear kind of dialed in, which is great. Like, and especially the cold rain. Like,
Cold rain is terrible.
I'm not cold.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And yeah. I'm relatively dry. So kudos to you, Bike Mentor, for getting me directed to get the right waterproof gear. Like the pants, rain pants, and basically a good shell. And I bought a nice baggy shell, so it goes over top of my my nice warm winter jacket. And so that all worked out great.
And it's your 1980s winter jacket.
So. Yeah, it just happens to be a very old. I didn't realize the quality I was buying at the time. I wish I could replicate that more often.
You can't replicate it.
But I also suffered my first major drivetrain repair that everyone tells you is coming, but
after
I didn't.
After 5,000 kilometers.
I didn't realize I'd been cycling that much, but yeah, 5,000 kilometers.
And what was it, Dale?
The freewheel bearing seized up.
The freewheel bearing, which means the rear wheel or the front wheel?
On the rear wheel, it.
Freewheel.
Yeah, it's the thing that lets the wheel turn without needing to pedal.
Yeah.
So yeah, it seized up. I think in part, I mean, apparently between 5,000 and 10,000 kilometers is typical for that to happen. So this comes under regular maintenance, but I do kind of feel they had a hard time getting it off. This was the other thing. It was really seized on there.
Where'd you get it fixed? Shout out to that bike shop.
Vintage Iron Cycling, and they're
second floor, Clark and Great Northern Way.
Yes.
You won't find them unless you're looking for them.
Yeah, pretty much.
On top of the storage place beside the storage place? Or
I think
underneath?
It's beside.
It's beside, right.
The building
beside.
Because it's on the hill, on the street, it looks like they're the second floor, but when you go around back,
right,
it's a level,
right,
level in.
So that you can access them. You don't have to like put your bike in an elevator.
They basically had to break the bearing to get it off.
But are they ground level, the shop?
The shop looks like it's ground level because the hill goes up.
Yeah. So how did you get the bike there?
Pickup truck from a friend.
Okay.
And then I bust over to pick it up.
Yeah.
So I still have, it's,
I mean, it's 2026. I mean, disclaimer, I'm not a wrencher. I never will be a wrencher. I never will be a bicycle mechanic. I just oil my chain, clean my chain, occasionally listen to bike blogs, you know.
Oh, and this,
I don't understand why in 2026 we can't get a bearing that lasts through Vancouver rain for, let's say, 10,000 kilometers reliably.
Or engineering, like
this
part
is
of the,
not electronics or software.
All of that rear wheel assembly, like the cassette and everything, it's all exposed. And I really wonder.
But it could be sealed.
Something,
right? It could be sealed.
Even as simple as covered, right?
Because like a rubber cover.
Just even like a fender over top. Like I don't like. Not even completely sealed, but just enough that the rain goes. Because look at the whole leaky condo thing in Vancouver, right? That was caused because they got rid of overhang soffits.
Yes.
And it could soak in. So.
And they didn't enforce the requirement that the water drain to those overhang soffits,
so,
or whatever you call
them. Little
things
like that can make a big difference.
Yeah.
Is where I'm going with that. So, yeah, I really wonder if there couldn't be more engineering to help that. But it is what it is. And
in my not so illustrious. Not so illustrious, not so great commuter bicycling career since 2007, so I guess 19 years, I have had the bottom bracket, which is the bearing that attaches to your crankshaft, fail. I've never had that.
Really?
Yes. I've had bottom brackets go, but I've never had
bearing?
The rear wheel bearings go.
Oh.
Or any other bearings
I
go.
Wonder
just
if
the bottom bracket.
I wonder
just
if,
the bottom bracket.
I wonder if that's because it's an e-bike.
Seems ridiculous, but okay. Well,
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a mechanic either.
When I say seems ridiculous, again, I'm not a mechanic, and I don't know, but I just feel like, again, like it's...
I wish I were more of one. It would be cheaper. I think that's the other surprise, actually.
I think that we can wish a lot of things, but for me personally, it would not be cheaper.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough.
Like, I could buy all the books. I could take all the courses in real life. I could watch all the YouTube videos. In the end, that would cost a lot more, and... if a different person did it, they'd be a much better bicycle mechanic.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be an effective bicycle mechanic, even after all that. So, because I don't have intuition about these things, and I don't have interest, really.
Some of that is
skill. I only
skill.
Have interest no. because I don't want to go to the bike shop.
Interest is important, but I want to say, like, you always get better at something if you practice.
Of course.
So, of course. I don't know that I would factor in that much.
Are you going to do it? You retire?
No,
you do
it? No.
You sounded like you were interested.
I wish, but I'm not interested enough. Okay. I mean,
you're interested more than I am, but you're not interested enough.
On the scale of things, basically, yeah. if it's not one or two on my interest scale, yeah. it doesn't happen.
Well,
and it's down around 10 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I was more mechanically inclined just in general, but I'm not.
Well, interestingly enough, I heard this thing. There's this thing called foreground, background. I don't know. Front ground, I don't know. There's a learning disability where if an object, like a ketchup bottle, you have a picture of it in your mind with a Heinz logo, right?
Yeah.
Because Dale and I are old enough to have grown up with Heinz logo ketchup. And we all know the Heinz logo. And we, in fact, probably know it in English and French, being of a certain, or know as a lot, acquainted. And then there's a barcode, and then there's a label. So this... front, background, whatever it's called, I'll link to it in the notes, disability is that if you rotate it, you don't recognize it.
Oh, I see. I definitely...
So, for example, if you reach into the fridge for the Heinz ketchup and the Heinz label is not facing it, you won't find it. If the barcode is facing you or whatever else when it's rotated okay. 60, 80, 90 degrees, you won't... Whereas people who are normal have no problems finding that Heinz bottle.
I don't have that exactly, but I do not have a good spatial capacity in my brain. Like, I still confuse left and right. And yeah, I don't know if you ever, high school drafting, you did those 3D isometric drawings where you would do...
I couldn't do those either.
Yeah, I couldn't do those. And I...
So for bike mechanics, that would be hard for me, like, because I've often been in this thing
for just about anything in the real world.
When I look at the YouTube video or the photo of the thing, it's in a slightly different orientation of my personal thing. And so I have no idea. Like, okay, I can't imagine it. I mean, I can imagine it, but I can't fit. I don't recognize it. So I think I have a little bit of that.
It's why I was never a good intuitive sailor either, because you're constantly, you have.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a good sailor.
The boat, the angle of the sail, and then the angle of the wind. And you're constantly figuring, like,
were you good with a map and compass? Because I'm no good with a map and compass either. For probably the same plus different reasons.
Once I'm oriented, sometimes getting oriented is hard.
For me, the hardest part is getting oriented and staying oriented.
But I don't navigate. Like, my brother, man, he goes one place once and he's locked in. Yeah. Me?
No. 10 nope. times. Even after 10 times. As that's evidenced by my bike sling.
And like, only if I'm like driving or
if
riding.
The light is slightly different. For at least 2 or 3 years, I would miss turns on my regular commute because the light's slightly different. My brain looks different. And then I miss the turn.
Yep.
Or if it's raining. Instead of snowing. Or snowing instead of raining. Or foggy. Or...
yep. Yeah, landmarks. Landmarks are super important.
Or if the landmark moves. Like it goes out of business.
That's horrible.
Restaurant goes out of business.
That shouldn't be allowed.
Gas stations.
Make that illegal.
We used to be.
Landmarks must be permanent.
Remember there used to be a gas station at 4th and Burrard? That used to be one of my landmarks.
Oh, no,
they had,
I don't.
They had Tim Hortons donuts that they would airlift in from Ontario.
Oh, jeez.
It was by the 5th Avenue Cinema. And then as soon as it disappeared, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to find my way because there's no gas station there for me to orient myself.
Yeah.
So anyway, a long story short, sorry for that digression.
So riding in the rain.
Have you ridden through an atmospheric river?
Yeah, actually I did ride when, I don't think I rode in like one of the the hardest rainfalls, but I have gotten caught out in some hard rain around that time.
And, yeah, I've ridden through atmospheric rivers. Hello, have a good ride. I've ridden through atmospheric rivers. It's a local neighbor on the bicycle.
And you know what the biggest problem is? The problem wasn't I wasn't dry or I wasn't comfortable. The problem was I need windshield wiper for my glasses.
Yes.
Like I was constantly wiping my glove on my lens to get the water off so I could see.
The only other problem that I could foresee for you, like me, is if there's a smallest hole in any of your rain gear, so your gloves, your whatever's covering your feet and your legs and arms, if there's a smallest leak, the atmospheric river will expose it mercilessly.
Rain has a,
but
a way of doing
in
that.
In a way that the mostly light rainfall that we have here won't really. And the atmospheric river I define as, you know, it's just whatever they call an atmospheric river, but it's just rain super hard.
And the other thing I learned was
for a long time,
I was
like
not
3 hours.
I was not doing good enough chain lube. This is,
I don't think that's true.
No, I was doing it, but I was like, I basically once a month. And what I found in the rain when I went to do my monthly one is like the chain was bone dry.
I would say
there was a little bit of rust even, and I'm like, holy crap, I need to actually pay more attention to this.
After any ride, if your bicycle's in heavy rain, whether you're riding or not, with the BoShield T9 or equivalent, something that's a dry lube or that has wax in it, that's what I would say. Don't blame yourself. It's fine. But going forward after heavy rainfall ride, apply any lube, but I recommend BoShield T9. Any lube after it gets washed off after an atmospheric river or heavy rainfall.
Things they don't tell you when you're buying
a
bicycle,
boys
and girls.
Once a month is fine if it's dry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've talked about this enough. Maybe we'll continue talking about this because I'm interested in what your thoughts are on your next bikes, electric bikes. Let's do that in a future one.
I am thinking about my next bike for sure.
From the wonderful Commercial Street Cafe. I'm Roland.
I'm Dale.
Ciao, cheers.